Welcome back to Horror Hunks, where we talk about the horror movies we love and the hunks we lust. I am the slutty backwoods sex you're having with your hot jock boyfriend, but you get to live, Stuart Forrest.
And I'm the top hunk who also happens to be a top, Chris. That's a lie. I'm verse, but not the.
I mean, wouldn't it be? It's more hilarious if you're like, I'm the top hunk who's also a bottom.
Oh, can we do that?
Do it. Reintroduce yourself.
And I'm the top hunk who's actually a bottom, Chris.
And this week we have a very special episode. Instead of doing a review of our movie and talking about the hunks, we're going to go through every piece of dangling meat that we've talked about this season and start making them battle it out. Because if there's one thing that turns me on, it's a bunch of hot guys fighting.
Yeah, so we have done 10 different movies this season. And what we've decided to do is we are going to go through elimination style and figure out the top hunk of these first 10 movies. So we picked a top hunk for every movie so far. They're going to duke it out. And by that, I mean, we're just going to talk about how hot they are. And by the end of the episode, we are going to have the... I don't even know what the title would be. We are going to have the top prime beef hunkalicious hunk of season one of Horror Hunks by the time we finish this episode.
I mean, hopefully.
I mean, yeah, who knows? We could be like 3 hours in and not have figured this out yet, but it's fine. So the way we're going to do this, the problem that I have noticed, so I'm not a sports guy. I like basketball sometimes. I don't know if are you a sports guy?
No.
Okay, so the thing that I figured out is I was going through all these brackets, and with 10 categories, it makes it really hard to make a bracket. So what I thought we would do for this first round is I'm gonna list off all of our top hunks that we've had so far, and we are going to be able to, each of us gets to eliminate one. Because if we get down to 8, it makes it a lot easier to make a bracket. There's probably a way to make a bracket with 10, but I don't know how to do it because... I don't do sports. I don't do brackets. I got last place in the last March Madness bracket I did. So we're gonna do it our own way. So I'm gonna let you eliminate one first. I'll eliminate one second. But the top hunks that we have, and for each movie that we did, actually, let me say that a different way. For each movie that we did, the top hunks are as follows. We have, from episode 1, Friday the 13th, we have Kevin Bacon playing Jack. From episode 2, A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, we have Robert Rustler playing Grady. From episode 3, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003 version, we have Mike Vogel playing Andy. From episode 4, we have Friday the 13th Part 2, and that hunk is Tom McBride as Mark. From episode 5, I Know What You Did Last Summer, we didn't really have a winner. It was a tie between Max and Ray, but Helen Shivers / Sarah Michelle Gellar was our honorary winner for that episode. From episode 6, The Covenant, we have Pogue, played by Taylor Kitsch. Episode 7, The Forsaken, we have Nick, played by Brendan Fair. Episode 8, The Lost Boys, we have Michael, played by Jason Patrick. Episode 9, which Stu was not here for, we have The Cabin in the Woods, and it was Jesse Williams as Holden. Episode 10 was the Friday the 13th remake from 2009, and we kind of ceremoniously decided that Jared Padalecki as Clay was the winner of that episode. So, with all of those options, which one hunk do you want to automatically just eliminate from the competition right now?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say Jesse Williams. I know it was the episode I was not here for.
But no!
I would have, if I were not on a mental health break being driven insane by my family, I would have easily said Chris Hemsworth because he looks like Thor with short hair and he's not a dumb jock. He's a smart jock and, you know... Bend me over, Jesus Christ, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, oof. and when you yourself get to hear that episode, I think there's a little bit of a bias because I had somewhat recently seen Jesse Williams in the stage play Take Me Out, in which he is full frontal nude. And so, like, I think that played into why he won. But okay, so Stu just chose to eliminate maybe who might have been one of my top contenders to win. Stu just first round eliminated Jesse Williams. How unfortunate. I am so ashamed of you right now. It's okay. It's okay. So to make it easier on us, my first round elimination is going to be the episode where we didn't really have a winner. So I'm just going to eliminate the Helen Shivers as the honorary hunk of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Only
because it's just going to make it easier for the fact that that episode didn't technically have a top hunk. And so that's going to be my elimination.
I thought Sarah Michelle Gellar was going to be our ringer.
I mean, she's always going to be the winner of our hearts, but I don't know if we could call her the top hunk of the season.
That's true.
And give me a second. I'm writing down the bracket order really fast. Had you not had this gone differently, I was going to eliminate somebody else who you probably would have been upset about. But it's
okay. Is it Mark?
No. I'm not going to say now because
now you're not going to say.
Yeah. Can't believe you got rid of Holden.
I mean, Chris what? Hemsworth, or even I don't even know the actor's name. Who's the stoner in that? I wouldn't even pick him as the hunk because he does things to me.
He's a hunk in real life in that movie. Not really, but
he does things to me. Did you ever watch Dollhouse?
No.
Oh my God. Well, one, it's actually a really good show for kind of a ridiculous premise, but he's in it. And he's also playing a nerd, but he just exudes sexiness. Ugh.
I'll take your word for it. I'm just still trying to recover from this loss of Holden. Okay. So for our, now that the bracket is made, our eliminations for the first round have been made. The first kind of battling it out as per this bracket is our first seed and our eighth seed, which would be Jack from Friday the 13th and Michael from The Lost Boys. I'm going to go into this and say I feel like off the jump, I feel like it's a little bit of a no-brainer, but we can kind of argue. I know you had stronger feelings for Michael in The Lost Boys than I did. Do you have any kind of way to defend him against Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th?
Okay. Hold on. Because I have to Google these hunks while I'm talking about them. That way I can refresh my memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My defense of Michael versus Kevin Bacon is they're just different breeds of hunk. Okay. Kevin Bacon is, of course, he's a, you know, he's an icon. He's a queer icon even. Yep. But he's also a spindly little twink in that movie, which I'm not against.
He is kind of a scrawny dude in Friday the 13th, which isn't a bad thing necessarily.
But if we're also going by character, Michael in The Lost Boys with the earring and the being a vampire, yeah, that guy is just, you know, Splooshalicious, just. Mm.
Do you like his kind of 80s bad boy thing?
Yes.
That doesn't do it for me personally. I think we talked about in the episode. I feel like his hair just really was a big turnoff for me in that movie.
I don't usually like that kind of hair on him though. I mean, sploosh. I mean, I was, I don't know, 8 when I saw that movie. I was real young. And even then I was like, I don't know why I like looking at this guy, but I like looking at this guy.
Yeah, no, he's got a very gorgeous face. That's for sure. His style in the movie is so 80s. And then thinking about the character a little bit, he's a good character. He's a good guy, even though he is battling becoming a vampire throughout most of the movie. He is a kind of protecting his little brother, wanting to keep his family safe and figure out what's going on with all this vampire stuff. So I get that aspect of it. I don't know if I can put him over Kevin Bacon because he was going to be my first round elimination. I almost picked Michael, but I wanted to get rid of that. I Know What You Did Last Summer, not a real winner option. So Kevin Bacon in I Know You Did, Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th. The only reason I could potentially see him losing is that, you know, we talked about how in Friday the 13th, there is no character development in that movie. Jack is a cool dude. He's got, like, you know, the cool look, the long shaggy hair. He smokes weed. He has sex with his girlfriend. But we know nothing about him. We don't really get any information or any character development on him because he's just there and then he dies. So
he is eye candy.
He's eye candy. He is, you know, the beginning of that cautionary tale of don't have sex, don't do drugs in a horror movie. But I feel like only because we actually get some really good character development with Michael in The Lost Boys, is that's the only reason I could see him winning, because I do think that Kevin Bacon as Jack is much more attractive than Michael in The Lost Boys. No offense to Jason Patrick. He's got a gorgeous face, but the 80s clothes, the biker jacket, the long hair, the dangly earring, it's like watching a TikTok star now. I just don't, he doesn't do it for me. But if you're like, you're dead set on him, right? Like, you feel pretty strongly.
No.
Are you sure? Because I was going to give it to you and now you're saying no.
So. No. Well, because like, Kevin Bacon, this is, you know, this is horror hunks. We're objectifying men. So if we have to objectify them, pretty and vapid, I'm going to have to go with Jack.
Okay, so just one last thing. Who would you rather fuck?
Oh.
Because that should be the winner, is who you'd rather have sex with, right?
Well, now this is a hard decision. Both?
At the same time.
Yes. Ooh, I don't know. Would I bang Michael by the seaside or would I bang Jack in the woods?
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is statistically, based on the movie, if you have sex with Jack, you're probably going to die. If you have sex with Michael, you might still live because he survives that movie. His girlfriend survives that movie.
Yeah, but what's woods sex if it's not a little dangerous? All right, I'm going to have to go with Jack.
Okay.
I surprised myself.
I was going to give you that one for Michael. I was looking for a reason to give it to you. But now that you came around to my side, Jack defeats Michael and moves on to the next round. All right. All right. So our second round is the fifth seed versus the fourth seed. Retroactively, because how this worked out, our fifth seed became Jared Padalecki as Clay in Friday the 13th remake. And Mark from Friday the 13th Part 2. This may be the hardest one to decide between, because if you remember with Clay, we both ranked him like 100 out of 10.
Yeah.
But Mark, he's our wonderful, wonderful, sweet, perfect man from Friday the 13th Part 2.
This is a contentious one. This is a contentious one because Jared Padalecki is sploosh-tastic. Like, he is top tier. But Mark,
he's also like 6'15" tall. So
yeah. Well, so is what's his face? McBride? Tom McBride. He's like 6'4".
That's true.
R.I.P. Tom McBride. He's like 6'4".
Yeah, oh yeah, he did pass away. I forgot about that.
But he is just like, he is so freaking gorgeous. And like his character, I don't think they ever say why he's in a wheelchair, do they? They never cover that.
I think he says it's a football accident.
Oh, I mean,
so
he remembers what it's like to have feeling. I don't know, because I would do things to that man that would make the bottom of his feet tingle again. So
inappropriate. No, but. Yeah, here's the thing. Let's think about the characters themselves. Mark is kind, caring, charismatic, all-around good guy, but he gets a machete to the face. So that's, you know, the downside. Jared Padalecki, or Clay, is kind of not all that interesting when it comes to characteristics. He's just a tall guy with a motorcycle who's looking for his missing sister. But he survives the movie. So, like, I mean, how do we weigh this out? You know, how do we decide who is better than anyone else?
Mark, because, again, that man is just grade A, all-American beef.
It's true.
And he's played by a queer actor. And I saw the documentary about him. And the documentary was pretty interesting. And he's naked in it. So I got to see him naked, too. And he also, like, he loved his dudes. So for me, it's Mark.
Was he the one who did some, like, risque photography at some point?
Yeah, he, like, would, like, these guys that he would sleep with, he'd just bring his camera and, like, take photos of them together and, like, have them model. And, like, he lives on through his photos.
And I am, I'm 100% Jared Padalecki 9 times out of 10. But I will also say that before we even started, like, recording this podcast, you said, there's one man that we have to do an episode on. Yep. And it was Tom McBride. So he was kind of, like, planned for you from the start. That's not saying he's going to advance all the way and, like, win this whole thing. But you wanted to do an episode on Friday the 13th Part 2 because of Tom McBride before we ever even started recording Horror Hunks.
Yeah.
I think that as gorgeous as Jared Padalecki is, as gorgeous as Clay is in that movie, the lack of a personality takes some points away for this. And the fact that 2009 was a very specific time for, like, fashion and hairstyle choices. And I think that looking at that movie from a modern lens, he just kind of has, like, a very college bro 2009 look to him. So I'm comfortable giving around 2 to Mark if you also think that Mark is deserving of that prize, which I think
you probably
do. Yeah, he gets it. All right, round 2. Mark busts out Clay. Busts in Clay? Mark beats out Clay for the top hunk of that round. Next round, we have 3rd seed and 6th seed, which is Andy from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003 and Pogue, played by Taylor Kitsch, in The Covenant. Andy is played by Mike Vogel, who... this is a harder one for me because they're both kind of like the shaggy-haired bad boy character of their movie. And I think that they're both absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, Mike Vogel...
What are your thoughts? It's been a few minutes since we've recorded either of those episodes. What are your thoughts on them going into this?
Well, I'll always remember the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I'll always remember Mike Vogel because I first saw him in, like, whatever this dumb skateboard movie that I still kind of love that he was in. And then he was in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But he's, like, he's a background character in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Wait, what?
He doesn't really do anything, or, like, he doesn't, like, he barely has any speaking lines.
The man gets his leg sawed off and put on a meat hook. He's in it. He's a main character.
He dies and gets tortured really well, but he doesn't, like, talk.
I mean, I'm going to disagree with you on that because he has my favorite line of the entire movie, which is, that after the girl shoots herself in the head in their van, he says that the brains remind him of lasagna. And
oh, yeah, that's so right.
He does have my favorite line in the movie, which is also the opening line to the podcast episode. So I am going to disagree that he doesn't have much to do or say in the movie. I do think that of the characters, he kind of gets, like, the least development. He doesn't really go through any kind of changes. He's there. He's that kind of aloof skateboarder character, even though it's the 70s. He's not, like, actually a skater that we know of. He doesn't go through any changes. He doesn't learn anything about himself before he gets chopped up. But he does get a tragic death. He gets an iconic chase scene where he's running through the sheets and gets his leg sawed off, like, at the knee by Leatherface. And he's, glistening and sweaty the entire time that all this is happening.
And he's wearing like a tank top.
He's got a tank top on. Those like apple bottom 70s jeans that we know and love.
Oh, you mean bell bottoms?
Whatever they are. I don't know. His ass looks good in them. I don't know.
Yeah, his ass does look good in them.
I don't know what kind of jeans they are. I'm not like looking at the tag or anything. Maybe when I'm taking them off of him, but just
kidding. I don't think you're looking at the tag when you're taking them off him. That's the like one time that you don't even know that you're taking off jeans. You're just like, oh, you wore clothes over here? I'm sorry, I was not paying attention.
I was honestly just thinking about, I have a pair of jeans where the tag is in the front. And so every time I take them off, like I can see the tag. And this is unimportant to the podcast whatsoever, but I always am like, oh, I need to cut that tag out because it's super annoying that it's in the front. And then I never do. Fun fact, Chris's jeans have tags in the front and not the back. Thanks, Target. What about Pogue? The Covenant is a movie.
The Covenant was filmed as a movie. It was in theaters and the Covenant, you can still rent it.
The Covenant was filmed as a music video disguised as a movie, I think, but I agree.
And it's hot garbage. The whole movie is hot garbage. I had my opinions on it, and I stick by those opinions.
But what about Pogue himself? Taylor Kitsch.
Pogue is the faux bad boy, because by today's standards, by guys that I've banged, he's pretty tame for being the bad boy of the group. But
wait, what kind of guys are you banging?
I mean...
I'm asking for the sake of the podcast, because I hear these stories. I know the guys you bang. I don't know them personally.
I don't think I told you about that one guy. I don't even remember his name. I went on a date with a guy once, and we went to a rooftop, and he broke the door to get in, which I'm all about, you know, getting on rooftops illegally. And then we also mooned some cops and ran from them through downtown Indianapolis, and then stopped at his dealer's house so he could get him some cocaine. And then we never had a second date. And I'm pretty sure he's dead now, but it was a fun first date.
So, dear listeners, this is where you find out that this is not a battle of the hunks. This is an intervention for Stu.
I mean... Nah, don't save me from the bad boys. Bad boys do it better.
Bad boys go to jail or take you on coke runs and then die, apparently. Sploosh. I don't know these things. I don't know these things. You are something else, Stu.
That's why I'm in therapy.
I mean, I am too, but not because of that. So,
I mean, I'm in therapy for a lot of reasons, but... My taste in men often has been brought up. So,
Jesus, how do we get to these places? We were talking about hunks a minute ago, and now we're talking about whatever this is.
It's a backstory. But I will say for Pogue, the like thing that he's got going for him is that you see his butt. So you see bare ass. And
is he one of the butts we get in that movie?
Yeah, he's one of the butts we get in that movie. And he's got nice ass.
The locker room scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, that's one of the things that it makes this round a little bit harder is that Andy is, we can assume he's got a great body, but, like, we don't really see a lot of it in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And some of it we see is being, like, his leg being separated from the rest of his body, so that's gross. But, or him being hung on a meat hook, which is worse, actually. But Pogue... You know, we get some more risque scenes with him. We get the locker room scene. We get the swim team scene. You know, he's a very physically attractive specimen of a man in this movie. And, you know, we talked about some of the queer overtones of that movie and how, like, all of that was most likely very much on purpose. Mm-hmm. But he has a motorcycle. That's... You know, he's the bad boy. You called him a faux bad boy, though. What makes him faux?
Well, maybe during that time, he was more of a bad boy. But, I mean, the day and age we live in, he's not a bad boy by today's standards.
No, by today's standards, he'd be kind of a poser, I think.
Standards, he is not at all alarming.
No. He's got long hair. He rides a motorcycle. Probably also has a leather jacket. I feel like there's a lot of guys who wear leather jackets on this list. But he is... lost my train of thought with that. Oh, Taylor Kitsch kind of played that kind of character in the early 2000s, because if you think about like Friday Night Lights, he was kind of like the bad boy football player. If you think about the X-Men Origins movie, he was Gambit, who was like kind of the bad boy of the X-Men team. So,
hold on just a second, because I just realized I'm talking about the blonde guy, not Taylor Kitsch. So I fucked that one up. So I'm going to have to go with Andy then, because I totally fucked up which one I was even thinking about.
You didn't even know who we were talking about this whole time. We don't see Pogue's butt then, do we?
No, we see the other guy's butt.
Ooh, thumbs down, no butt, Pogue loses. This round goes to Andy by default. I still think Taylor Kitsch is very attractive, and the long hair
is
definitely
very
works
attractive.
For me.
But either one of those guys, that even the one that I was thinking of, compared to Mike Vogel, the winning was just going to be the bare butt, and it's not even the one who's on our list. It's the other one.
We're a mess, ladies and gentlemen, but we have our winner of this round. Andy wins. Pogue is banished back to the locker room. Okay, for the last pairing of round one, we have... Oh, okay. So for the last round of... for the last ranking of round one, we have Nick, played by Brendan Fair in The Forsaken, versus Grady, played by Robert Russler in A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. This one's very cut and dry for me, but I'm going to see what you have to say before I...
Oh, hold on. I was writing them down. We got Andy and Scream Queen.
No. For Grady. We've got Nick, which is Brendan Fair, and Grady,
yeah.
Who is Grady?
Nick.
That's your cut. You said it's cut and dry, Nick.
Well, it's cut and dry, Nick. I mean, Brendan Fair. Come on.
That's what I was gonna say.
That guy in his floofy hair. Ugh, sploosh. I mean, Grady is super 80s hot. But like those two. No, it's Nick. It's Brendan Fair. I mean, he's a hunk. I mean.
Yeah, no, that was my answer too. I think that Nick wins that one hands down. Grady is a very good hunk for A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, but I think if you're comparing him to almost anybody else on this list, he just doesn't compare, in my opinion. And you may disagree with that, but I think that he works really well for that specific movie, but taking him out of that movie, I just don't think that he really ranks up to anybody else.
Truth.
All right. So for the last round, we had Nick versus Grady, and Nick automatically takes the win and moves on. So we are in round two now. So we have Jack from Friday the 13th versus Mark from Friday the 13th Part 2. We've got two people from the same franchise duking it out. We know what the winner is going to be, but we've got to pad the runtime of this episode a little bit. So let's discuss what could possibly make Jack win this.
Mark.
Mark. I mean, yeah, obviously, but like, is there
Mark?
Any,
why?
Is
you
there
know, I don't care
if Jack could win this.
Jack is out.
Oh man, Jack.
Jack can go dance in that town where you know, dancing against God or whatever. It's
are
a
you
sin
making,
to dance.
Are you making a Footloose reference right now?
Yeah, he can go dance in that town all he wants because.
You're ridiculous. I agree that Mark wins this round. I was trying to think of some kind of argument for Jack, but, you know, I love Kevin Bacon. I think that he's actually still somewhat attractive to this day.
Oh, he's still rocking it.
But
if I had to pick one of them from the movies that they're in, oh, Mark, I mean...
So, okay, Jack versus Mark. Unfortunately, as much as we love Kevin Bacon, Jack cannot Hackett. I'm trying to think of like
Jack can't cut it.
Jack doesn't make the cut. I was gonna say like Jack can't jack it off, but that doesn't work.
Jack can't hold his arrows to the throat.
Yeah, Jack loses against Mark. Mark moves on to the finals. And so for our last, second and last elimination of round two, we have Andy from We have Andy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003. And we have Nick from The Forsaken. This one is a little harder than the last couple of rounds because I do feel like we both very much love Brendan Fair. We both think that he is insanely attractive 20 years ago and insanely attractive today.
Yeah.
But I'm going to argue that Andy in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003 was a formative realization for me as a young person, as a teenager at the time. I saw him in that movie and I was like, he was one of those people who I was like, oh, I like dudes. So I feel like there is like sort of a nostalgia element with him for me. You laugh like you didn't have that same realization. Did you not take that away from that movie?
I was well into that and all he did was kind of reinforce that.
Oh, true. You are a little
Don't
older
say
than
it.
Me. You're a little older than me, Stu. You're a little older than me.
Well, thanks for joining us on Horror Hunks. This is the end of the podcast forever and ever.
This is the episode where Stu kills Chris. It's fine. No. So, like, Andy was a formative queer realization for me. I mean, I was, well into my teens when this movie came out. So I think it wasn't like an awakening, but I did see him in this movie and I was just like, oh, a sweaty man with long blonde hair running around in a tank top. I really like this. And so that makes me want to argue for Andy a little bit. I love Nick. I love Brendan Fair as Nick. What are you arguing here? What are you thinking as far as this argument goes?
I mean, this is a tough one for me because they're both insanely hot.
What is it? The Forsaken, we both know it's a very forgettable movie for me. But what was he kind of had? Oh, he had the like the cut off denim shirt, right?
Yeah.
And did he have did he have an earring?
I don't think so. No, maybe.
Let me look it up.
I mean, he could have dressed a little sluttier in that movie, but he's like dirty and greasy.
He's dirty. He's greasy. He's got a little bit of a mullet. And so
he does have a mullet.
I do love a mullet. He just has that like unwashed been riding around hunting vampires in the desert for a few days, kind of like greaseball look to him, which is interesting that he's pitted against Andy because both of their movies are like, you know, taking place in the South / like very hot areas where they're going to be sweaty and gross. I don't think that Nick looks sweaty and gross in the movie. He just looks like he should be sweaty and gross. And then you have Andy who's like running around like hair in his eyes because he's sweating so much. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that he was like that.
Well, based on that, I'm going to have to say Andy.
You think Andy?
He's pulling off, I mean, he's hot. He's pulling off the sweaty look, but he doesn't look like I had to tell him to take a shower first.
That's true. He does kind of look like that, but that's not a bad thing because you can take the shower with him. So
Or he didn't really have to take one at all. Like, let's say I was in this creepy ass abandoned town, which is not out of character for me. And nope. All of a sudden he like runs into me. I'd be like, oh, you look like you've been running through the woods for a while.
Not shower.
No, we're in the middle of a field. There's no shower out there.
Oh,
and you know
okay,
what?
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Leatherface is chasing you. It's fine. Let's stop in the woods and get one off real fast. It might be our last
chance. Fear is an aphrodisiac.
It's true. I mean, is it true?
I don't know, but
it is now. According to Stu, you heard it here. fear is an aphrodisiac. I think everything's an aphrodisiac for you sometimes, but that's okay.
If I were being chased by a psycho killer and like I'm with a hot guy, at some point I'm going to be like, hey, do you want a Hummer while we're hiding? So.
Stu, you're going to get, you would not survive a horror movie. You would be blowing somebody and Leatherface is going to come up behind you and like chop your legs off or chop your arms off or whatever.
It's possible, but it's 2023. The rules have changed. You can be slutty. You can give blowjobs in the forest and still live.
Okay, but that doesn't change the fact if you're being chased by a cannibalistic man with a chainsaw, he's not going to say, oh, he's giving that dude a blowy. I'm going to leave them alone. He's going to come up and kill you.
You never know. You know what? Because there's nothing more awkward than catching people having sex and catching people having gay sex. Maybe Leatherface would just feel real awkward and not do anything. He'd just back off and be like, well, I'm not going to intervene.
All right. So I don't even know what we're saying right now. We decided that Andy versus Nick, Andy wins. I'm going to say barely, because Nick, again, Brendan Fair as Nick, very attractive. Andy just edges him out a little bit, and that's that. I was thinking of an edging joke, and I couldn't come up with one.
Oh, my God.
Not on my jokes today. All right, it's our final round. We have Mark versus Andy. Mark from Friday the 13th Part 2, Stu's main squeeze, his wheelchair-bound love. And then you have probably somebody who would be my top pick, actually, from most of this list, had you not gotten rid of Holden in the first round, which I'm still bitter about. But Andy from Friday the 13th, Andy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2003. Man, this is so, I feel like you see this as so clear cut. I see this as so clear cut, but for different people.
You already know my answer.
I do, but it's not my answer. So how do we figure this out? Are we gonna like roll a die? Like, are we gonna flip a coin?
We're gonna have to list top three reasons for your pick.
Oh God, I need a second. Let me write them down. Top three. Are you gonna give your top three for Mark as well?
Well, obviously.
Okay, give me a second. I need a second. I'm not good under pressure. It's referring back to my notes from the previous episodes. Do you already have your reasons?
Yep.
Oh, geez. I feel like I'm under pressure right now. I can't come up with a third reason. I'm freaking out right now. There is a third reason. I just can't think of it.
I literally wrote my three reasons while we were sitting here, and you can't even think of a third reason for your hunk.
I just am trying to come up with something that's true but also funny.
Mine is staying in. It's good.
Oh no, is it something that I might want to edit out?
No, you're not going to edit it out because it's good.
Oh, God. I'm so scared right now. You're going to get us canceled.
I don't think I could get canceled. I think about that a lot. Like, could I say something that would get me canceled? Absolutely. Would it? No, because people who get canceled are ones who are saying something that's ignorantly stupid and they don't know it. I'll say something that's ignorantly stupid, but I do kind of know it, and I stick to it.
So you stick by your ignorantly stupid opinions?
Yeah. I mean, like, when I say that not all MAGA Republicans are Nazis, but all Nazis are MAGA Republicans, I stick by that, even when they threaten me with violence and send me their nudes on Snapchat.
Oh, hey, I think I have my three reasons. We're just going to move on from that. You have that situation that happens often, I feel like. But yes. you tend to attract the closeted right-wingers who just want to show you their dick for some reason.
They want to show me everything, so.
Yeah, dick and bowels and booty cheeks.
I'm not complaining.
No, I know, as you never would. But all right. So we're going to do one by one. What's your first reason for Mark being the top hunk of the Hot. Season? Of the season. Of the of season, by the way. 10 Mark. Episodes.
Hot. Beefcake. All-American beefcake. He's wearing that, like, jersey, the red jersey, and his hair is all floofy and that, like, late 70s or early 80s style, and he's got that cheeky ass grin. He is just all American stud muffin. Like, put him in the oven at 375, bake for 40 minutes, and then just take a bite. It's too hot for your mouth, but you like it.
Is that that's your first reason?
Yeah.
He's an apple pie, is what you're saying.
He's a muffin. He is a hot muffin in my mouth.
Stud muffin.
He's a stud muffin. He is a stud muffin that burns the roof of my mouth, and I say, thank you, sir.
Do you remember when people used to use that term, stud muffin?
I still use stud muffin.
Oh, well. Okay.
I'm old.
My first reason for Andy being the winner of the season is he's hot, sweaty, hunky. He is running around in the Texas heat with a tank top on, and he's just drenched in sweat because he's running through those bed sheets from Leatherface, and he's just glistening in the hot summer sun, and he is just so hot doing it. So basically the same reason for number one. He is an all-American apple pie being baked in the August Texas heat. What's your number two?
Number two, Tom McBride. He's a queer actor who had to play straight, and he was sex positive, and unfortunately, you know, at the times, it wasn't a great thing to be, but he still did him.
So you're, if I'm hearing this correctly, your number two reason is, you know, you're advocating for unprotected sex right now.
No, I'm advocating for queer actors and body positivity and sex positivity.
Damn it. Okay. Well, my number two for Andy is that, you know, I'm a big fan of the shaggy haired guys, and I, you know, it is just a known fact that shaggy haired guys are freaks in bed. And so we can assume that Andy, you know, knows what he's doing in the bedroom, whether it's in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre mansion or whether it's in the back of the van where the hitchhiker killed herself, unfortunately. He is going to be able to perform to the best of his ability, no matter where he is.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
You know, maybe not after he gets his leg cut off and he's hung on a meat hook, but before that, he'd be good in bed.
I agree. I agree with that.
Okay. What's your third reason for Mark?
My third reason, well, it kind of circles back to the first one because he's so hot. I want him to break my back out.
So wrong. You're so wrong. Ugh.
Break my back, Mark. I will.
You're going to leave me to edit this episode, and I hate you for that. I don't condone anything.
Just remember, if I say something that's overly offensive or you think it's going to be overly offensive, just bleep it. Because bleeps are hilarious.
Yeah, I don't condone. I'm just putting the disclaimer in right now. I don't condone anything that Stu ever says on this show. God, I just lost this round because the only thing I could come up with for my third reason is that Andy thinks brains look like lasagna. That's all I could think of under the pressure of having to come up with three reasons why he should win. That's not a good reason. It's gross. But that's all I could think of.
I did the same homework as you. In fact, I did less homework than you because you're much more organized than me and had, you were thinking about this all day and I forgot about it till 7 o'clock when I texted you.
I buckle under pressure. I didn't know that it was going to come down to Andy and Mark. I didn't know that I was going to have to come up off the top of my head with three reasons why Andy should win. And so you get two really good reasons and one just made up reason. I'm going to wave my white flag. I'm going to wave my tidy whities on a flag and say, I'm going to bow out with Andy. And I'm going to graciously let you have this one.
Mark is our hunk of the season. Tom McBride, Mark from Friday the 13th, part 2. You heard it here first, folks. He's the top hunk because he is the top hunk.
And here's the thing. I'm 100% fine with him being the winner. Like, I'm going to, like, listen right now. I'm editing in, like, really exciting, like, music or something. But I'm 100% fine with him winning. I had a feeling he was going to win the entire thing before we even started recording. I just really wanted Andy to win because I was the one defending him in the end. So I wanted to win by proxy of Andy winning, but I'm 100% fine bowing out and saying that Mark wins, because here's the thing. You actually, one of your reasons that you gave, all of your reasons, but one of your reasons that you gave, he was a queer actor who was out and proud in the 80s when he was in this movie. And he had not only the, you know, the acting chops, but he had the respect of his co-stars and the respect of the people making the movie, who I believe all also knew he was queer. And he was just, he was proud of who he was. And he had like that artistic side with his photography. So like, no, absolutely, he should win. And I'm fine with that. I just really wanted to come up with a better reason for Andy winning. And I failed.
He's our sexy runner up. He's our junior hunk, but it goes to Mark. And it's full circle, because I came up with the idea of wanting you to do a podcast about horror hunks after watching Friday the 13th part 2 and then learning about this wheelchair-bound hunk of a man. And it's full circle.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely Mark wins. Congratulations, Mark. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to us argue about all of these hot menses. But ultimately, Mark won. Nobody's surprised, but everybody's happy. And until next time,
stay horny. Don't die.
Hey, we did it!
We did it!
Yay! Thanks for tuning in to this season of Horror Hunks. Your hosts were Stu Forrest and me, Chris Waltz. Join us again later this year when we discuss even more horror movies we love and hunks we lust. Horror Hunks is a Dead Oaks production with music produced by Ben Bryles. Find us on Twitter @HorrorHunks, and until next time, stay horny, don't die.